There is a fifth dimension beyond that which is known to man. It is a dimension as vast as space and as timeless as infinity. It is the middle ground between light and shadow, between science and superstition, and it lies between the pits of man's fears and the summit of his knowledge. This is the dimension of imagination in an area which we call Elder Dragon Journey.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're again live at the Elder Dragon Doodle podcast. Second time this week because we have some unfinished business to take care of. But how are you, Niksha, before we go on to that?
Pain. Existence is pain.
No, mostly your leg is pain, not existence.
Well, that's a philosophical matter.
Oh, honey. But yeah, been good for the last 2 days.
Yeah. My head started to not hurt anymore.
Oh, that's good.
But I still have the same leg cramp.
You'll be back in like a couple of years. Moving.
But yeah, mostly I've been fine. So, I mean, I'm fine enough to now sit at the table and record again.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah. We can get this show on the road.
Yeah, between when we recorded the first episode this week and today, a couple of things have popped up, haven't they?
Oh, just a teensy tiny bit of things.
The thing that we already mentioned, the brawl, has been... We know what it is. So, Niksha, what the hell it is?
So, it's Standard Commander.
How's that going to work?
That's the short description. The long description is, so it's a standard format with the same ban list as standard.
Womp womp. No copters.
So, 59 card singleton plus one card to be your commander. And all the rules for commander apply, except there's no commander damage. And you can have Planeswalkers as your commander.
Sweet.
Of course, still, it has to be standard legal.
Of course, but still.
And, I already mentioned, 60 card decks, and 30 life.
So, it all sounds really nice, but do you think this will catch on?
It just might, because it's commander. It's another form of commander for... I don't know, for people who want to play both standard and commander?
You know what I find this nice thing to be? We had problems with... I mean, every shop has problems of how to actually, you know, have commander leagues, right?
Yes.
This kind of solves the problem. You just make it brawl, and then you can make, you know, multiplayer pods and all that. And there is no things, you know, people with precons showing up and fighting people with $2,000 decks.
I mean, people can still buy precons, but they'll have to edit them. Because, yeah, you know, they're called challenger decks.
Yeah, but you know what I mean.
I know.
But this solves that small problem.
Also, it's cheaper to get into it.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know how cheap it is to, you know, keep changing your deck every year. I mean, it's a 60 card singleton, so
it'll be a fun thing when you open up, let's say, a pre-release kit, and you have most of your deck prepared. Like, huh?
Oh yeah, that's right. It's just you attend a pre-release and you have your brawl deck. Wow. Okay.
I mean, Tess was like, I don't know how I feel about this, but I told her, but you already have a prepared deck. Do I? Yeah, you're playing Dinosaurs. She was like, oh yeah. Easy. Done.
Oh, okay. But what are your thoughts on this, Igor? Your personal thoughts?
First I was like, I don't feel that well about this. But then I was thinking, man, again, if I feel like playing something commander, standard-ish, I might just do this and go to the shop and play in a league. If they're going to be preparing leagues, and I think they will.
If it catches on.
I think it might. Because the casual crowd would like to play, you know, more Commander. But they, a lot of people don't feel like they want to do the whole French ban list.
Mm-hmm.
Because, again, we have the Zergo problem.
Yeah.
Now, how fast the format will be solved is another thing, and if it will be solved, but...
But hey, it's rotating, so...
Yeah.
Also, the first rotation is already in 6 months.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, prepare those Dominaria legends to be your commanders.
Oh, that I'm extremely hyped for. I just don't know what to play. What I would like to play is something with Great Pharaoh's Gift. Because it's me and reanimation effect.
Of course.
Just don't know who would be the commander, but you know.
So, my thoughts are... at first I was like... I was as well like, yeah, whatever, it's just... Wow, nice money grabbing. Just, you know, how do you fix standard? Well, not by fixing things, but by introducing a commander format for it. But I thought about it a bit, and I actually like the idea, because it doesn't, it's not taking away from anything.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a casual format. They emphasize that it's a casual format. That's, you know, just there. You can go and do it. I mean, people did it anyways. Some playgroups even had their, like, standard commander.
Yep.
And now it's a official format. So they just might give some support for it. They might not.
We'll I see. Mean, they're technically giving it support with each standard release.
But the big thing is, I think that, except for, you know, raising popularity of standard, making people buy more boosters of standard, and making those bulk rares actually worth something now,
mm-hmm.
because, you know, if it's not good for standard, it's good enough for Brawl, I guess. Sometimes. Depends on the card. But this is a format for Arena.
Yeah, definitely.
Since they said they're not gonna put in older formats in Arena.
How could they put all the broken things from, let's take Vintage or Commander onto the thing?
It's not a problem to, you know, because it's broken. The problem is it would take, like, decades. To implement every card.
Like, that's part of the actual thing, because the older cards are sometimes more complex. And you need to put all the interactions in.
Yeah, but they said that they made a program, an algorithm that's very easy to implement cards into. So, still, they have to make sounds for every card. They have to make... animations for cards?
For a super old card, like, you know, 93 to 96, it should just be 8-bit sound.
that would be nice.
I would love that.
But yeah, Brawl is going to be... I think it's going to be massively popular in Arena.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I heard that Commander was amazing in one of the duels. So
did we have Commander in one of the duels?
There was Commander in one of the duels of the Planeswalkers, I think.
I don't think it was. You had Plane Chase and Two-Headed Giant and things like that, and Archenemy, but you didn't have a Commander.
So maybe that I probably heard it because people were like just putting Commander in duels and it'll be the best thing ever.
Yeah, I think that was the talk.
But yeah, this seems like a really good move by Wizards.
Mm-hmm.
People might still call it a cash grab, but, you know, Wizards have to make money.
Yep.
To pay people and to continue existing, so it's really not a problem.
Yeah, I heard that, you know, paying your bills is kind of an okay thing to do.
having a house is also, it's decent. It's not really yeah. necessary, but it's decent.
When people ask me, why do you work in that place that you work at, I always say, I always had an ambition not to starve and die in the street.
Yeah, pretty good ambitions.
But before we move, I think that we have concluded this topic, have we?
Yeah.
But before we go to the Dominaria spoilers, do you want to talk about the Dominaria trailer?
Sure.
So how did you actually feel about the Dominaria trailer?
Well, when it first started, I thought it was actually Belzenlok talking to us.
Mm-hmm.
And he was like talking, he's talking, and I'm like, this time I know, the sentence was something like, together we shall cleanse this world of evil forever. I was like, what? Why would Belzenlok do that?
Oh, it's Karn.
It was super weird because I never saw Karn talking.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know, the trailer looks cool, but it's really hard for them to set up a threat when the main threat is a cult that
yeah.
doesn't really do anything.
We were discussing this after Karn visited Mirrodin, right, which became Phyrexia. He came here, he was like, Oh, it's Jehovah's Witnesses. Oh, alright. I'm not that scary.
Because, you know, Dominaria was plagued by Phyrexia. It was plagued by slivers.
It was plagued by everything. Like Karn says in the trailer, this is a plane that has apocalyptic threats, like, on the regular.
Yeah, and they keep rebuilding.
Because that's what we do.
I mean, it was the plane that almost got wiped out because of time potholes.
Also because of the two brothers being fighting. Also because an old curmudgeon man decided to take revenge on, you know, people taking his brother away. Also because a piece, a crystal ball decided to be funky and, you know, almost screw up everything. Basically, everything and anything was destroying Dominaria.
So, yeah, I think they'll be fine with Belzenlok. Also, I read some of the story, like that story preview, because I'm kind of losing interest in the story, how poorly it's going.
What I've been feeling for a couple of years already?
Yeah. You know, Hour of Devastation just, like, gave us that.
Oh my god, that was the best.
A bit of hope, and then with Jace becoming an actually likable character, and then destroying that at the last second. Also, Jace said that he is a pirate now.
He is a pirate.
So, what Jace is saying is that he's a vicious, tricking murderer, rapist, and pillager.
I like him already.
But okay, Wizards, okay, he is a pirate. And that's, you know, that's cool. But what I wanted to say, so Belzenlok is a demon that keeps on just stealing titles. But didn't I say that last time?
You did, and you're having a good laugh. God.
Okay, but also, he's one of the Liliana's demons that actually did something. So, she arrived to witness the big guy, Griselbrand, and just killed him. Griselbrand yeah. did nothing. She just went up to Razaket.
Razaket.
And straight up crocodiled him to death, and he achieved nothing.
What did she do to Kotoped?
She just killed him also.
Oh, just straight up murked him.
Yeah.
Just, okay, good.
And Belzenlok's actually doing demony things. He he managed to take a cult to, like, worship him. He's spreading the cult across Dominaria. Like, he has some incentive. He's doing demon-y things.
Yeah, I'm impressed by that. A demon that actually does a thing.
So, I don't know, maybe he might put up a struggle somehow?
For like 10 minutes?
For like one paragraph?
Yeah, there we go. Like I said, 10 minutes.
I don't know, it's just that I didn't expect Dominaria to have, like, any threat on it. I thought it was going to be just an exposition plane where legends gathered and exchanged stories, and that's about it.
I mean, Nick40k has taught us anything, it's that cults can actually be quite dangerous.
Yeah, but not on Dominaria, I think.
Depending on what they do. And how do they handle it? How do they, the writers, handle the cult? What does it do? Is it just creepy and worshipping a thing out in the open? Yeah, that sucks.
Oh, yeah. But if I'm sorry, finish your sentence.
But if a cult manages to, you know, infiltrate the government and things like that, get to positions of power, that's when cult can get dangerous.
Yeah, but, you know, not apocalyptic level.
But I don't know.
But still, they're a nuisance, and they have to be dealt with.
But you were going to say?
I was going to say that... Yeah, what was I going to say?
What were you?
That Sarah's realm foreshadowing.
I hope that was just a flashback.
You saw the way it transitions from Sarah's realm to being on the map, basically.
Mm-hmm.
But... why? I mean, I expect them to be retconning stuff this set. But, you know, Sarah's realm was used as fuel to move the... sorry. The spaceship.
Weatherlight.
Yeah, the spaceship Weatherlight. A skyship, but it's still, it's a spaceship. Come on.
And partly it was destroyed because of the Phyrexian taint on it.
Yeah, but they used the realm as fuel, so yeah, that realm doesn't exist.
Yeah. But then again, apparently Teferi's spark got captured in a ball or something, so you know.
Oh yeah, and his sacrifice was completely meaningless.
Yep. By the way, did you see the thing I sent you, the map of Dominaria?
I did.
It's gonna be a playmat. I'll be wanting that playmat.
Hmm, but I wonder for what?
Maybe winner a game day like the last time they had with Dixieland.
Nope, it's the fairy.
Oh, then I don't know, but I'll be most likely getting this playmat, because look at this, Niksha! This is the first time we actually had a proper map. Like, for real, this map of Dominaria.
Yeah, it's nice.
And I didn't know that Jamura was that big, actually.
Oh, learn something new every day.
Plus, do you see the name of the sea left of Burning Isles?
No.
Voda Sea.
Wow.
And that's fun because in Croatian, in Southern Slavic languages in general, Voda means water. So, you know, this is a water sea. Oh.
Wow, it's a sea that has water in it, okay.
Impressed. Also, I like the Tolaria vest is a thing.
Mm-hmm.
And you see Keld, which is much smaller than I thought it was going to be, because Keld was always such a big thing. And you see, have things like Madara. Oh, Madara is still a thing.
Oh, lots of things are still a thing. Well, you know what's not a it's not a thing?
Zalfirin Void. Yeah, you just see Zalfirin Void.
Yeah.
Also, we have things like Kroos is still here, Pardia is still here, Sarpedia. What is also... Urborg is here. Also, Bogarden.
Yeah, someone said that... What if it's Liliana's, like, final plan to resurrect Yavgmoth?
Oh, God.
I was like... Yeah, then the story actually ends, because...
Yep.
Because, you know, Yavgmoth isn't a planeswalker. He is unaffected by the Mending.
Yeah.
So even at like 20% of his maximum power, he would still crush like everything.
Maybe if, you know, his soul got shattered into millions and millions of pieces like the Emperor's from 40k did, then it might actually, you know, be a worthy enemy, but thing you still cannot kill because you can just, you know, shatter that one fragment. And then we ask ourselves, what if the Raven Man is part of the Yawgmoth's soul? Or some shit like that.
We'll see. This is the set where we find out who the Raven Man is.
Oh, that's gonna be actually nice, because I've been wondering that for a while.
So, can we proceed to the spoilers now?
Yes, let's move, because we have a lot of work to do, and not that much time. So, we talked about white, black, and blue. We read Jaya, and now we move on to red itself.
Yep.
So, what does her legendary sorcery do, Niksha?
So, it's Jaya's Immolating Inferno for X and double red. It's a legendary sorcery. And Jaya's Immolating Inferno deals X damage to each up to 3 targets.
Whoosh, whoosh, whoosh.
So, yeah, it says just 3 targets. So, it's creature, planeswalker, or player.
Mm-hmm. It's nice and it's gonna be good in limited. Maybe even in standard, I don't know.
It could be good in standard because it's already a 3 times multi-kicked Comet Storm.
Yeah. So it's just a question how many playable legendaries will we have?
Oh, well.
This is a set of legendaries.
All of them are playable.
Depending on the format, right?
I mean, even in normal standard.
So that remains to be seen, but yeah, this is a just nice, simple burn spell.
So, next up, Igor?
Goblin Chain Whirler for red, red, red. Each color has a triple of its color creature. This is a Goblin Warrior that's a 3-3, has first strike, and when it enters the battlefield, it deals 1 damage to each opponent and each creature and planeswalker they control. Just ping everything. It kills mana dorks and things like that, at least.
Yeah, it kills mana dorks, which is quite relevant, actually.
Yeah. Don't know how much it will be for standard, even though, you know, Llanowar Elves are showing themselves again. But in Commander and things like that, you're bound to find small dudes.
Mm-hmm.
Plus, you can play this after combat.
Yeah. Also, it's a goblin, which is relevant.
It's always relevant. So, next up we have a good old friend. What is it?
It's Siege Gang Commander.
So, goblins might be a thing in this format?
They probably will, seeing that, you know, they have some other nice reprints.
But yeah, Siege Gang Commander is oldie but goodie. You're able to snipe people or just, you know, get a huge force. And if you're playing tokens for Esha or just value Esha, this is a really nice card to have.
Next up is another reprint.
Oh god, this is an old card. So this is Kizik. 3 and red for a 5-3 creature elemental. It has Kicker red. Trample haste at the beginning, at the end of turn. Sacrifice Kizik unless the Kicker costs a spade. So just basically Ball Lightning with a little less power.
Yeah, this is a Ball Lightning that can't get shocked.
Yeah. For most of the time, if you're playing a red deck, you don't need to pace the kicker, but if you need to, you know, option is there.
Yeah.
And there's other things in the set that care about kicking stuff, so...
Mm-hmm. So, here he is. Goblin Warchief.
He never did anything wrong.
Goblin Warchief has been reprinted and is now standard and modern legal.
Mm-hmm. He was printed as an FNM promo. Like, a year ago, was it?
Yes.
But this is gonna give a good boost to Goblin decks.
Yep.
Because guess what? Once you can actually spill out your hand, like, in a turn, things get good for you.
I mean, we'll still see if this makes, like, Goblin Tribal that's not 8-whack a thing in modern. But it'll definitely help out in standard.
Yeah. And if we're talking about, you know, goblins from Days of Old, we have Squeed Immortal. For one red-red, it's a 2-1 legendary creature goblin, and you may cast Squeed Immortal from your graveyard or from the exile. So you know what that means? Food chain!
Yeah, I guess.
Because Proj decks needed even more help, you know, these days.
But still, it's Squee. That's still immortal.
And you can't get rid of him.
Nope.
Only way to do it is just turn him into a tree or, you know, a moon or something like that.
Yeah, or a 0/1 bug.
Yeah.
But then again, you can sacrifice him and then he comes back.
Yeah.
I mean, like, wow, just... Okay, he keeps coming back, and he's still a combo with the Skull Clan.
Combos with Skull Clan, also combos, not combos, but you know, goes well with Survival of the Fittest. Because previous versions of Survival of the Fittest decks in Legacy, when it was legal, used Squee, Goblin, and Bob as a fodder.
Yeah, but he doesn't replace that Squee. For...
Yeah, oh yeah, that's the thing, yeah.
Doesn't come never back gets hand. Back to your hand.
But it helps Food Chain decks, like yeah. I said. And does it come up with anything else?
It's a really obnoxious commander because he always costs 3.
Yeah, but I'm less scary of seeing this guy than seeing something like Krenko, to be honest.
Yeah, you never know.
You can just put this guy into a Krenko deck so you always have access to at least a goblin. When you need to.
Also, I don't really see him doing anything in Standard.
Oh, no. I don't think he will.
Maybe if there's some heavy sacrifice-oriented mechanic that goes into red, I don't know.
It remains to be seen, even though we've seen a lot of the set, so... goes well with that black creature. It says sacrifice a creature. Two creatures get the creature back from the graveyard.
Yep.
But that's a synergy, not, you know, something really broken. But what's the next card, Miksha, that you want to talk about?
Well, we got Gitu Lavamancer.
Oh yeah, that's not a commander-worthy card, I think, but it might do things in Standard.
Well, it's a worthy card, nonetheless. So it's one red for a 1/2 creature human wizard. As long as there are two or more instant and or sorcery cards in your graveyard, Gitu Lavarunner gets +1/+0 and has haste. So, yeah, 1 mana, 2/2 haste.
It's not a certain monk from the Jeskai faction, but it still does the trick.
It's not a goblin, but...
Yeah, it's another 1 mana hasty thing for your burn deck.
And it's a wizard which is relevant for this set. For this set.
Next coming up, I think we have our second legend. Valduk, Keeper of the Flame. 2 and a red for 3/2 human shaman. At the beginning of combat on your turn, for each ore and equipment attached to Valduk, Keeper of the Flame, create a 3/1 red elemental creature token with trample and haste. Exile those tokens at the beginning of next end step. This is good, actually.
This is a cool Voltron commander.
But it's one good thing, it helps you Voltron and also gives you a bit of width, not going just tall, also going wide.
Yeah. Plus, it's kind of like that, the white version, what's she called?
Hero of Blakehold?
No, Kemba.
Ah, yeah.
Only this is like...
Not permanent.
Yeah, haste. And 3/1, which is relevant, because Skull Clan.
Plus, if you have things like Impact Tremors and Purphoros.
And Valduk actually cares for auras and not just equipments.
Yep. So you're going to be playing Mono Red Boggles?
Mono Red Boggles, come on. What?
You actually can do that, that's the thing.
Okay. That could actually be maybe legit for... That's actually legit for Brawl.
Yep.
Maybe we solved it. I mean... This is really powerful.
I mean, removal ain't that good in this, in Standard, compared to things you have in Commander, you know?
Yeah.
So, What's the next thing you want to talk about?
There's nothing. Well, we have this Keldon Warcaller that is 2 mana, so 1 and a red, for a creature human warrior that's a 2/2, and whenever it attacks, put a lore counter on target saga you control.
Yeah.
So the important thing about sagas is whenever they get to a chapter, that chapter triggers.
Yep.
So if a saga enters the battlefield somehow with 3 lore counters on it, all 3 will trigger in a way you want. So you choose how they resolve.
Do
and
you?
The saga just dies.
Wait, you choose the order it resolves? It doesn't go as it is on the card?
No, because it entered with 3 counters. So they all trigger at the same time.
Damn! I didn't actually know that.
But yeah, that's really like specific. You need to have 2 doubling seasons for that.
And if you do have 2 doubling seasons, things are already going well your way.
If you have two doubling seasons, why are you playing sagas and not planeswalkers?
Maybe you're doing saga planeswalker deck? Something, I don't know.
Maybe.
But yeah, this is a good guy for limited purposes, and standard maybe if sagas are doing a thing.
Which I don't believe they will, but
yeah, most likely they not, might. So what is the next interesting thing?
Well, Haphazard Bombardment is kind of funny.
Well, it's wonky. It's your type of card.
So it's 5 and a red for an enchantment. When Haphazard Bombardment enters the battlefield, choose 4 non-enchantment permanents you don't control and put an aim counter on each of them. At the beginning of your end step, if 2 or more permanents you don't control have an aim counter on them, destroy one of those permanents at random.
It's slow as hell, but it's gonna kill the things.
It also works well with other bombardments.
If you have, 6 more mana extra lying around to cast those things.
Yeah, but I don't understand. Why is it if 2 or more permanents you don't control?
Because if there's just one counter, you destroy that one. Yeah,
no, I thought... I misread it. I thought it was more than 2.
Yeah.
No, still, it doesn't make sense. If there's just one aim counter, why not destroy it?
You don't destroy it at random. You just destroy it. Because the sentence is destroy one of those permanents at random.
No. But this triggers if there are 2 or more aim counters.
Oh my god, something gets left. Because it's haphazard bombardment, you're not actually paying that much attention.
But why? Come on.
Because it's random, and it's a red enchantment that's 6 mana and it's random.
For 6 mana, I damn well have to kill 4 things, not just 3.
Yeah, that's not how red works. With enchantments, I mean.
Fine. Okay.
Oh, well. What's next interesting thing? Fight with Fire? Even though it's just a burn spell, but it's fun as hell. So, Fight with Fire is 2 and a red sorcery. Fight with Fire deals 5 damage to target creature. But it also has kicker of 5 and a red. If this spell was kicked, it deals 10 damage divided as you choose amongst any number of targets instead. Yes. Just burn all the things. 4 million mana. 4 million mana.
Well, we do have Lana Worlds and kind of rampant growth, so this might be possible.
It might be, but if you're getting to that 9 mana, you're killing many stuff. Plus, this is gonna be nice and sealed.
Plus, let's think about it in standard. You can use it in like a, let's say, dinosaur ramp deck?
A monster's deck, right?
And then you can just like ping your dinosaurs for your bunch of your dinosaurs for 1, and then the rest to your opponent's face or something.
Yep, that actually seems nice. What's next you want to talk about? The lightning? Because it shows that nice wizard synergy.
Yeah.
So Wizard's Lightning, 2 and a red. Instant. A Wizard's Lightning deals 3 damage to any target. But...
3.
Yeah, 3 damage. It bolts something. But this spell costs 2 generic less to cast if you control a wizard.
So it becomes Lightning Bolt.
Yep.
If you have a wizard.
Which many things are surprising a wizard.
And there are already, like, 2 legitimate turn 1 wizards.
Mm-hmm.
One in red and one in blue. And
that's
their color combination, red and blue.
So this is going to be a nice thing. At least in Sealed, this is going to be really nice.
Yeah.
Honestly, if you get this in Sealed, you're playing it no matter what.
Also, this is going to be... This is going to be standard.
Yeah.
In standard, it's going to be all over the place. Wizards are going to be quite strong, I think.
Mm-hmm. So, what's the next thing we want to talk about? Because it takes a while to get to anything interesting. Oh! I think Eruption is the first thing that we care about.
Oh, the first Eruption.
So, what does it do, Nixon?
It's a 2 and a red for an Enchantment Saga. On Chapter 1, the first Eruption deals 1 damage to each creature without flying. Chapter 2, add 2 red mana. And Chapter 3, sacrifice a mountain. If you do, the first Eruption deals 3 damage to each creature.
This is such a cool story, it says. First of all, a bit, you know, Eruption happens and it kills things around the mountain. But then you get some red mana out of it because, you know, you're draining power from the earth. But then the mountain explodes of the eruption and then it deals, just kills the thing.
All the things. This first chapter is like just that smoke.
Yeah.
That comes out before the actual eruption. Then, yeah, the lava flows, you get some mana out of that, and then kaboom.
And it kills everything around. That's not strong enough. Next is Verek's Bladewing. So we have a recurring title character. Because Verek isn't a guy we used before, but Bladewing is a title we've seen on a couple of cards.
Yeah, like Rorik's Bladewing and that other one.
Yeah, and also Bladewing the Risen. Which is, you know, Rorik's Bladewing dying and coming back. But for 2 red-red, it's a legendary creature dragon. 4-4, which is, you know, nice. It has flying. It has kicker 3 generic. When Verek's Bladewing enters the battlefield, if it was kicked, create Karok's Bladewing, a legendary 4-4 red dragon creature token with flying. So it brings a buddy.
This card is really good.
Yeah, it shows that the Bladewing lineage is continuing. You have brothers or something like that.
And not just that, this card is generally quite good. So a 4 mana 4-4 flying is
good.
Good. But a 7 mana 8-8 flying, now that's where it's at.
We've seen cards like that.
Like Broodmate Dragon.
And Register Alpha.
Yeah, but the only thing is these are legendary.
And this set cares about that.
It does care, so it can't be cast down.
Mm-hmm.
Which is the name of the black removal that calls non-legendary creatures.
We found out in the end. Read the next card, it's interesting.
The Flame of Keld. So it's 1 and a red for a saga. On chapter 1, discard your hand. Chapter 2.
Sold. Taking it.
Nothing else needed.
Yep.
Chapter 2, draw 2 cards.
Even better.
Chapter 3, if a red source you control would deal damage to a permanent or player this turn, it deals that much damage plus 2 to that permanent or player instead.
Sure, whatever. Let's go with that.
So it's Pyromancer's Swath.
Yep.
All it just for 1 turn.
Because it's red, and it needs to, you know, not be stable. I'm liking the first 2 modes, honestly.
Well, the third one is just gravy.
Third one is just like, sure, yeah, I'll be attacking with most likely Lesha and, you know, getting whatever I want from the graveyard. But, you know, extra 2 damage can actually pile up.
Well, you can also, like, just remove counters and keep discarding your hand, I guess.
Yeah, if I or just drawing two cards. Because the second second one gets added to you after the draw step, right?
Yeah.
So if you can keep on removing the counters, you'll just be drawing three cards a turn. Which yeah. isn't actually that bad.
It's not. It's
just put a hex per set or something in your deck and you're fine.
Then keep drawing cards.
Yep. Which I hear that's good in the game of Magic.
Definitely.
Going back to green, because the last one I don't think it's that noteworthy.
It actually is.
Is it?
Yeah. Fire Fist Adept is a 4 and a red for a 3/3 creature human wizard. When it enters the battlefield, it deals X damage to target creature. Oh, it target creature.
Yep, that's insane.
An opponent controls where X is the number of wizards you control. So this would be quite legitimate in the... Well, what's her name?
Which one?
The Wizard Eminence Commander.
Inala?
Inala. But it's not to a player, so... womp womp. Well, there goes a good card wasted.
Told you.
I mean, they probably learned their lesson from other cards that did similar things. So, yeah. Moving on to green.
So, Kamal's Druidic Vow is the first legendary sorcery we have. Sorry. X and green. Legendary sorcery, you may look at the top X cards of your library. You may put any number of land and or legendary permanent cards with converted mana cost X or less from among them onto the battlefield. Put the rest into your graveyard. Basically Genesis Wave for legendaries.
And lands.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's a Genesis Wave. Slightly weaker.
It's a Genesis Wave that Sissy decks are really hype about.
I mean, this is Genesis Wave that's really good for, you know, as a second Genesis Wave.
Yeah, Genesis Wave is usually nice. I mean, that depends on the number of legendaries you run in your deck.
I like this card. I'm gonna play it in Standard.
What about next card, Mix? Will we be playing that in Standard?
Oh, here it comes. So, Steel Leaf Champion is a triple green. For a creature Elf Knight, it's a 5/4, and it can't be blocked by creatures with power 2 or less. And this one, this is the best of the cycle.
Yep.
Not only is it a 5/4 for 3 green, it can't be chump blocked, and it comes out on turn 2, because one of our elves.
Yep.
So turn 2, 5/4 with, you know, almost unblockable. That's pretty good.
I hear it's kind of okay.
So mono green Stompy will be also a thing in Standard.
Well, good thing about Stompy decks, they're usually cheap. Ish. Yeah.
And this is going to be the game day promo or store championship promo, whatever it's called. Mm-hmm. And everybody will get it. So it's a participation promo. So they don't that top 8 promo thing anymore.
I just might show up for this one.
Because this is really strong. It's also...
It's kind of okay.
It's 3 green, so that's very relevant for Modern, because Devotion.
Yep.
Well, Mono Green Stompy might actually be better in Modern now. I mean, they have Steel Leaf Champion, they have Leatherback Bailoff.
Mm-hmm.
They can use that all of that mana for Nyx to, I don't know, play the giant Stompy Frog monster that gives everyone, you know, the one.
Yeah, no, either that or just a huge stupid Eldrazi or something like that. If you ramp
mono,
it already.
Mono green Stompy with Eldrazi finishers, what?
Why the hell not?
Of course.
Next card we have is, again, good old card from the good old days, Gaea's Blessing. One green sorcery, target player shuffles up to 3 target cards from his or her graveyard into his or her library. There, it's gonna be on Modern templating. Draw a card. But when Gaea's Blessing is put into your graveyard from your library, shuffle your graveyard into your library. The classic anti-mill card. Mm-hmm. Nothing special about this, just, you know, saying it because it's a really useful effect.
Wait a moment, this wasn't legal in Modern up until now, right?
It was not.
Oh, there you go. Now suddenly mill decks are completely...
irrelevant.
Irrelevant in Modern.
Womp womp.
Does this... this doesn't get rid of Lantern, right?
No. Why would it?
Because they can't mill you out with it.
Don't they have some secondary wound conditions?
They do.
Or is...
But the thing is, they can just, you know, exile your graveyard.
Yeah. But Nixxel, what is the next familiar face we're gonna see?
Oh, Verdant Force.
Oh my god.
So Verdant Force, for those who don't remember, is a 5 generic and 3 green. So 8 mana for a 7/7 elemental that gives you a 1/1 green sapling on each player's upkeep.
So, you can combine this really nicely with Tendershoot Dryad, can't you?
It does work very nicely with Tendershoot Dryad.
Also, this used to be a thing you paid 8 life for to reanimate in Legacy.
Yeah, this was, like, a bonkers card.
Today we have Grizzle Daddy, but you know, we used to have that.
But joining the cast of familiar faces, he
Oh my god, I love this card. Torn Elemental. 5 green 7/7 creature elemental. Torn Elemental may deal its combat damage to defending player as though it weren't blocked. And this is a fun ability, but what a lot of people, new players, mistake this is, well, I deal damage to you and, you know, the creature that was blocking it. No. You choose one of the two. You either deal 7 damage to the face or to the creature blocking you.
Oh man, this is just... this is the nostalgia.
Yep, that and Verdant Force used to be the things from back in the day that casuals played a lot with. And the you remember 7th edition promo?
I remember, yeah.
Everybody wanted to have it.
I had it, and I remember trading it off, and then I had it again, and then I got rid of it again. I mean, it's not worth anything, but...
No, but it looks so goddamn sweet. The original, I like the original art much more, but the 7th edition elemental was a thing I liked when I started playing the game. It was just like, oh my god, how can you lose with this thing? They can't block it properly! Oh. And then I learned, you know.
Oh, it's actually Modern legal. Okay.
It is,
why wasn't they playing this in Modern? Oh, because it's bad.
It's totally bad. But I'm going to send you one picture that we might put in the show notes. Archipost did the artist proof of the card. You know, when they give artists blank cards so they can do an altar of it? Well, there you go.
Nice.
Looks sweet. What's next on the nostalgia block?
Llanowar Elves.
With bitching art. I'll actually get a couple of these cards as foils, because look at it.
Oh, and yeah, it's apparently... Good luck with that.
Say what?
Good luck with that.
I'll pay a bit for it, but you know. The thing is, it will be expensive at the beginning, but then, as you know, standard goes, it'll drop a bit. And that's when you get those cards, and after that, it'll spike again.
Yeah, in a couple of years.
It might actually, even when once Dominaria rotates out, it's gonna spike. Because it's Llanowar Elves in foil.
Well, they were available in foil before.
They are, but not with this bitching art. Because the previous arts I was like a meh about.
Well, but this people will probably be more excited about the full art Llanowar Elves than this one.
Honestly, between the two arts, I'm liking this one much more.
They look so menacing for a dork.
Yes, I will add mana to your mana pool. Not anymore, but you know, I'll just tap to add green.
Is it no mana pool? Just add green.
I'm just sad that it isn't centered, the ability.
Yeah,
but it makes sense why.
If it were centered, then they should get rid of the flavor text as well.
I would be fine with that, honestly. The flavor text is cool, but if I have to trade the flavor text for that, sure, sign me up.
can't have them all.
I want to talk about the Song of Rallies. Even though it's not that... I mean, it's not bad.
But it's so, a saga. So go
Song of, Song of Rallies. One and a green. One and two gives you... Until your next turn, creatures you can control gain, tap, add one mana of any color. Which is strong. And three, add a +1/+1 counter on each creature you control. Those creatures gain vigilance, trample, and indestructible until the end of turn. I'm okay with this.
This is decent, you know. You, if you're playing like a go-wide strategy, first two turns, you're getting a lot of mana to play more stuff.
Yep, and then smack.
And then a mini overrun. I mean, without vigilance, trample, and indestructible.
Yes.
So you can even rat the board just for them to be unblockable.
Next interesting thing
You know what you ramp into with Song of Rallies?
What?
Nova Blast Worm.
Oh my god.
There you go!
Oh my god, Nooks, so now I want to build a green white deck. Damn you. Because I freaking love Nova Blast Worm.
Wow, you get to attack with Nova Blast Worm and everything is left alive. I mean, not for your opponent, but...
I mean, you could always, you know, just boss Boros Charm or something like that.
I mean, wow, okay.
But still, cool.
And now I'm tempted to do that. As
well. And of course you will. Next interesting card is Llanowar Scout, just for the on the decks. One and a green... 1/3 Elf Scout, tap, you may put a land card from your hand onto the battlefield. A fact you've seen many times before, but still, you know, it's here.
Well, not really. This is a very rare effect, actually. The only card, other card is... There's another elf that does this, but only as a sorcery.
You have also the Sakura Tribe Scout.
Sakura Tribe Scout, which is the by far the best one of these.
And you also have Walking Atlas.
Yeah, but this one's pretty much the best.
And it's an elf.
I mean, the Sakura Tribe Scout, it's the best one.
Yeah, wanna read the legendary? Speaking of elves.
Speaking of elves, Marwyn the Nurturer. It's a 2 and a green for a 1/1 legendary elf druid. Whenever another elf enters the battlefield under your control, put a +1/+1 counter on Marwyn, the Nurturer. And you can tap him to add an amount of green mana equal to Marwyn's power.
So yeah, this is a thing.
Remember Rothalos?
Yep. But this is way less broken than Rothalos.
Definitely way less broken, but still quite good.
It's quite good. It's not. I mean, you already have a similar effect to this. You have... the Gaia Sage, which has evolved.
But
you have Elvish Orcs Druid, which is completely stupidly broken in a different way.
But this one doesn't care about the bigger power. It just, you know, you get
or elves. Yeah. Plus, you don't even have to have that many elves. You can just put Locks of the Warhammer on this guy, and you know, or just have a bunch of you know, elf wards.
Just, you know, play him as a... It's a Voltron. It's a Voltron commander.
It's a Voltron ramp commander.
Which is quite unique, actually.
Yeah. But, no, if you just play enough of Elf Lords, you can tap this for a million.
Yeah.
And then get Crater Hoof in the play. So it's less good than Azurius, the mono green one. But this is still pretty good.
Mm-hmm. So it's an interesting take on a commander.
So you get a bunch of dorks, you have a Azurius commander, pump a bunch of mana into Azurius overrun ability, then tap this guy to get even more overrun ability.
Of course, why not?
It sounds silly, but it's actually a thing you might do in an elf deck.
I mean, also, Azuri Claw of Progress.
Oh yeah, you could do that.
Slots in quite nicely.
Yeah, it triggers Azuri, and you can just stock him up with counters.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, sweet. What's the next thing you want to talk about? Multani, so, or...?
Go ahead, tell us what Multani does.
Okay, Multani comes from way back, and Multani was supposed to be killed, then came back, I think, at the end of the Time Spiral. Yavimaya's avatar, for 4 and a green-green, it's a legendary creature, elemental avatar, it's a 0/0. Reach, trample, and it gets a +1/+1 for each land you control, and each land card in your graveyard. 1 and a green, return 2 lands you control to their owner's hand, return Multani from your graveyard to your hand. Quite a mouthful, but it's a strong effect.
Yeah, so he has a built-in recursion. You can do some landfall shenanigans with him.
Omnat loves him. The
yeah,
angry Omnat.
He's probably like more useful in the graveyard than on the battlefield. I mean, he does have reach and trample.
Plus, even if he dies, you know, 3 damage to somebody.
Yeah.
And then
this is a really good Angry Omnat addition.
Definitely. I saw the card, I was like, oh yes, this is gonna be a thing. It's gonna actually replace the Multani Mara Sorcerer from my deck. Because I'm currently running him. Which is same mana cost, but you know, he just has power on top of the equal to the lands you control. And that's it. And Trample. This guy's like that. But also recursion and things. And next thing up, I think
we have to talk about the next card.
Oh, we have to, because the salt has to flow.
So, Grun the Lonely King. It's a 4 and double green for a 5/5 legendary creature, Ape Warrior. With kicker of 3 generic. If Grun the Lonely King was kicked, it enters the battlefield with 5 +1/+1 counters on it. And whenever it attacks alone, double its power and toughness until end of turn.
So Niksha, why does this make you angry?
Just why?
Because they
decided to make a creature, a legendary creature, that works alone, that doesn't care about others, that doesn't want others near it, at least not attacking. So, what is one of the most, if not the most, solitary creature on Dominaria?
Well, Ape, obviously.
I'm going to say that it's not Ape, because apes are social beings.
No.
I mean, maybe Dominaria apes aren't. I don't know.
Well, if only there was a creature type that, you know, was cast down from heavens, and now it's destined to be all alone in its powerless state.
Then when it attacks, it's just a big stupid thing, and when it attacks, it becomes bigger and stupider.
I have no idea what the creature type could be.
What creature type could that be if not, and not be an ape?
I don't think worms are the most social animals I've ever heard of, so it can't be worms.
Yeah, definitely, it couldn't be a worm. I mean, a worm just doesn't work.
Yeah, I'm glad it's an ape. Because ape decks have been solely needing a commander for like years and years.
Yeah, and people are just thrilled that their ape decks are finally complete with their commander.
What
my
the hell?
God. What? Maybe he's a character from Days of Old. I never heard of him.
Nope, me neither.
Just what the hell.
But yeah, Niksha, what's the next card you want to talk about? Is Broken Bond, is it even worth mentioning?
I was gonna say Broken Bond because that feels like that's how I felt when I saw Grun.
Oh, but the card, Broken Bond is 1 green sorcery. Destroy the target artifact or enchantment. Nice. You may put a land card from your hand onto the battlefield. And people are gushing about this card, but I'm like, eh? Because if I want to disenchant effect, I want instant speed.
It's not because of the, so for 2 mana you get a disenchant and a land, but you know, you kind of need a creature on turn one. You need an artifact target on turn one for this to be relevant.
Yeah.
I mean, was Swell of Growth popular?
I mean, some people will like this effect. I'm not one of them.
I mean, Swell of Growth did the same thing. It put a land on the battlefield, instant speed, for 2 mana. And it also gave a creature +2/+2. And not just your creature. Your opponent could have a creature, just give it +2/+2. It doesn't attack you because, I don't know, it's the end step. And you get a land.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know. I heard somebody like, it's a sideboard option for Tron, but no, it's not, because when you're killing artifacts, you want to do them as cheaply and efficiently as possible.
And as fast as possible.
So, the one green enchantments and artifact removals, they're not going anywhere.
Yeah. Why would you remove something like Nature's Claim instead of for this?
Next, I don't know.
Let's move up. I think that the Territorial Allosaurus is the next thing we need to talk about.
Sure. Go ahead.
So for 2 and a green, 5/5 dinosaur. Apparently dinosaurs are back. Kicker, 2 and a green. When Territorial Allosaurus enters the battlefield, if it was kicked, it fights another creature. You don't usually play this just to have it kicked. It's a 5/5 for 4 mana, it's good.
Yeah, that's very good.
And if you have to fight a dude and have extra mana, sure, why the hell not?
Also, dinosaurs were... There were always dinosaurs on Dominion.
I know, so. It just didn't make any sense because the last dinosaur we saw was in Ice Age. Cold Snap, I mean, when I say Ice Age.
Mm-hmm.
The literal Ice Age. Why are dinosaurs active in an Ice Age? Doesn't make any sense.
Because magic.
My question has been answered, apparently.
There we go.
Anything else in green? Or we can go to the multicolor?
Yeah, we can move on to the multicolor.
Okay.
Finally.
The first legend we have is Halar the Firefletched. For 1 red-green, it's a 3/3 elf warrior. Trample whenever you cast a spell. If that spell was kicked, put a +1/+1 counter on Halar the Firefletched. Then Halar deals damage equal to the number of +1/+1 counters on it for each opponent. So if you build a kicker deck, this might be good?
You don't even need a kicker deck. You just need something pump his counters and then kick a spell.
If only there were elves that could do that.
Yeah.
This might actually be sweet.
This just... Yeah, and they're also kicker elves, so...
Yeah, you can play, actually, the war caller. Isn't that a kicker?
Yes, he is.
Oh my god, you can just kill people with that one.
Also, multi-kicker counts, because it's still a kicker.
Yeah. And you can build something like a heroic-based deck like this.
Yeah, definitely. So, again, it's an elf commander that... That has a really unique build around me.
Yeah, this guy's cool.
But so it's still next? But it's still it's a green red commander that cares about punching people in the face.
Which makes sense because it's a green red. So
yeah, it actually punches everyone in the face.
Yeah, and that's good. It gives you reach, and it's an uncommon apparently.
Also, it's a 3-mana 3/3 trample, which is by itself decent-ish.
It's really good for an uncommon.
Yeah. I mean, we don't know what the rarity it is.
What's next one?
Ariel, Knight of Windgrace, not the Ariel from the sea. For 2 and a white and a black, it's a legendary human knight, 4/4 with vigilance. For 2 and a white, tap, you create a 2/2 white knight, creature token with vigilance. And for a black, you tap, and tap Ariel, and tap X, untap knights you control. Destroy target creature with power X or less.
This guy is pretty cool.
Or gal.
Oh, person. Whatever. When I say guy, I just mean, you know, person. I don't mean anything gender.
This card's sweet, like for a knight tribal.
If you open this in limited, it's gonna be really nice.
Yeah, 4 mana, 4/4 vigilance. That makes two guys with vigilance.
Yeah.
Pretty good.
Yeah. Next thing we have is Tiana, Ship's Caretaker. 3 red and a white. It's a 3/3 Angel Artificer, which is a really creepy... Not creepy, it's a really funky combo of creature types. Flying, first strike. Whenever an aura equipment you control is put into a graveyard from the battlefield, you may return that card to its owner's hand at the beginning of next end step. Sheesh.
I mean, it's a caretaker.
Yeah, but so, it's really nice.
Yeah, she cleans up stuff.
Oh no, you killed my Umezawa Jita, whatever will I do now? Yoink. Rum Pro. Oh look, it's back.
So this like, I don't see this as a commander.
But it's great in the 99.
It's great in the 99 in the form of, you know, when people kill your stuff that has auras on it, and then it's no longer like a 4/1, because you get those auras back. So that's quite nice. It gives some staying power for Voltron builds.
Next commander we already talked about.
It's Sunspeaker, yeah.
Primeval's Glorious Rebirth. 5 black and white. Legendary sorcery, return all legendary permanent cards from your graveyard to the battlefield.
Yes.
This could be really good or really bad depending on, you know, the state of your graveyard and deck.
Well, hey, do you remember what this does? I mean, do you know what's this gonna do?
Get back. Yeah?
It's going to get back all those planeswalkers in your Atraxa Super Friends.
Oh god. Oh god.
What a time to be a Super Friends player.
So somebody destroys all your non-land permanents and you're like, oh shucks, I guess I'll just let my commander go to my graveyard. And people are like, oh no. Oh no. No, when you say that, you're not confused, you're just like, oh no. What did I do now?
Yeah.
Next card we already saw Shana Sissi's Legacy. We talked about it last episode. But next up is my main man Joda. He's back. The Archmage Eternal. For 1 red, white, and blue, but the color identity doesn't matter at all. It's a 4/3 human wizard with flying. You may pay Wooburg rather than pay the mana cost for spells that you cast. And it's less important what he does, but he's back. The main character of the Dark series, one of the most badass wizards ever, he didn't apparently die ever. He's as old as the Ice Age. And he's still bad. He's still here. And he allows you to play 5-color general without being 5-color himself.
Yeah, he's a 5-color commander identity for a brawl.
Yeah. And for commander, just in general.
Yeah.
Because this guy is more useful than most 5-color generals.
Yeah, this way you can make a 5-color wizard tribal.
You can just make a 5-color tribal because having Fist of the Suns as your commander is really sweet.
And then at one point, somebody's casting a spell, and then you tap, like, you tap your white, your blue, your black, your red, and your green, and then cast counterspell for that.
Oh my god.
And then they're looking, but why?
Or even better,
I can.
Or even better, Pact of Negation.
Or that.
Yeah. But the trigger still goes, oh, I know. I'm aware of that.
I don't care.
I just can do it, so you know.
Yeah, Pact of Negation for 5 mana, that sounds actually pretty. That sounds pretty badass.
No, it's for 10 mana.
Yeah.
You have to pay.
I paid 10 mana to counter your spell. Haha.
That's true. Yeah, and I'm going to get a copy of this card, not to build a deck around him. It's just, he's my homeboy, so, you know, I gotta. What's next? Next card that we have lined up is something you're really happy about, aren't you?
Oh, yes, yes, definitely. So, next up is Muldrotha the Gravetide. It's a 3 generic and a green, blue, black. Legendary creature, Elemental Avatar. It's a 6/6. During each of your turns, you may play up to one permanent card of each permanent type from your graveyard. If a card has multiple permanent types, choose one as you play it.
This is pretty okay, I think.
What does it remind us of?
Yagmut's will?
Except that. A certain commander.
Ah. Karador, maybe?
It's Karador. Maybe? It's like Karador.
And if only we had a person who's really passionate about Karador on this podcast, you know?
So, I was like thinking, when I saw Muldrotha, I was so hyped for the card.
You still are.
I still am. But the problem is, like, I already have Karador, and he does this job better. Not because it... I mean, Muldrotha does the job better because he can play a lot of cards.
They do similar jobs. Not the same.
The thing about Karador is, Karador is 3 mana.
Yeah, always.
At least until somebody plays something that exiles your graveyard, then Karador is sad.
Rest in peace kind of screws up your day.
I mean, I still have my creatures that do something.
Yeah, definitely, but... Muldrotha is more of a value commander. Karador is more of a combo-centric commander.
Although I play him more as a value commander.
Yeah, but generally speaking.
Yeah, he's better at combos because, you know, 3 mana commanders are quite good.
That, and it's really, really good colors for things with, you know, Revelar, Karmic Guide, Safi shenanigans.
Yeah.
Plus, it allows you, once you sacrifice your Safi, to get your Safi back to, you know, if you need to combo again. Muldrotha is more of a, okay, I'm just going to be playing these value creatures, value cards, value planeswalkers, and things like that. Plus, she's really good with sagas.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, because you can keep playing those sagas.
Yeah.
I mean, there are so many options
It's really open.
You know what's... This is actually a better all-permanent commander.
Yes.
Than Karador, but I'm sticking with my Karador.
And
this just might be my Brawl commander. Because I was thinking about, you know, rebuilding a Sultai commander deck.
Mm-hmm.
And I just can't find a reason to play Muldrotha over Damia. It's really hard. Because they both have to survive a turn to start being super relevant. But Damia is just... She's so... Well, it's more nostalgia because I used to play Damia a lot. But still, I think the Damia is better generally than Muldrotha.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was my main concern.
Depending what you plan to do with those two commanders, because Damia is here to just, you know, draw your hand and do things like that.
And
Damia, I see more of a control card.
Yeah,
because Damia actually gives you the luxury of tapping out, casting all your counterspells and things like that, and still, you know, replenishing at the beginning of your turn.
Also, let's not forget how good Damia is with, what's it called? Oh man, Mind Over Matter.
Mind Over Matter, yeah. Again, it's apples and oranges, I think, with these two generals. You're not playing them for the same purpose.
I know I'm not playing them for the same purpose, but that's not something I look at when I'm making a commander deck.
Mm-hmm.
It's just which commander I want to build.
Yeah, and which feels cooler to you?
And when I'm making a Sultai, I just want to make Damia. I just want to rebuild Damia and...
What you could also use Muldrotha for is your Super Friends deck.
Yeah, because you can get your Planeswalkers back.
Easily. Dublin season, I ultimate my commander, I cast my commander. Not commander, planeswalker.
Yeah. Pretty sick shit, yo. But also, Muldrotha is amazing with Tasigur.
Yeah, oh, definitely. Did you speak enough about Muldrotha, or...
Yeah, the Muldrotha is an amazing commander.
I think you might be making a Muldrotha deck in the near future. Honestly, because I see you having swirling ideas in your mind.
For Brawl. I might just make it for Brawl.
Next up is Arvad the Cursed. 3 white black, it's a legendary creature, Vampire Knight, 3/3. Death Touch, Lifelink, other legendary creatures you control get +2/+2. You know where I see this guy being really good at? If you build something like Saskia Legends. Because one of the cards you would play in Saskia Legends and Saskia decks in general is the second Odric, right? And then everything you control gets Death Touch, Lifelink, and everything else gets a huge boost. Which with Saskia becomes an even bigger boost.
So yeah, this is definitely a card to consider in the 99 if it's a theme you're going with. Which isn't really that hard in Commander.
And especially with Dominaria coming.
Yeah.
Because they're really pushing this legendary theme up down on throats.
But it's really, except for that, it's really nothing to write home about.
Yeah, it's like all the cards that are currently labeled uncommon for multicolor. It's more of a support card.
Yeah, for your all legendary standard decks, which I will.
Yeah, and this Doppel actually means that I might have to go now. Family obligations, because we started a bit late.
So
we might actually have a part 3 of this.
Or we'll just record another day and fuse them into this
one. Yeah, tomorrow maybe, I think.
Okay.
Okay, onda se čujemo kasnije nekše.
Može, ajde.
Ajde, bok. And Nikša, what do we have next up?
Next up is Grand Warlord Radha. So Radha is a character we know from your side. You remember Radha?
Yeah, she was kind of a bitch, but for a good reason. She was one of the people who actually she had a Planeswalker's Spark or something like that, if I remember correctly, or was attuned to the holes in time whatever do we call it, time rifts?
Time rift.
I think she was attuned to them with some reason. And she was the person who saved people of Keld and all that.
I did.
But what does she do?
Well, the new Radha, the Grand Warlord Radha, is a 2/2 and red and green for a 3/4 elf warrior with. And whenever one or more creatures control attack, add that much mana in any combination of red and or green. Until end of turn, you don't lose this mana as steps and phases.
This is a bigger ability.
It kind of reminds me of the old one, that when she attacked, you got double red, but that double red end disappeared.
Yeah.
After.
Mm-hmm. They were referring to that ability, I think, with this one, but this one is much more potent if you're going wide. But...
Yeah, no sense in going tall.
Yeah, I mean, she's good in elf tribal, she's good in, if you want to go that way, warrior tribal, or just any aggressive red-green build.
Well, this fits into that elf warrior, that legendary that gets stronger when you kick spells.
Oh yeah, definitely.
Yeah, I'm seeing some kind of red-green elf.
What they need to give us now is to give us the Jund elf commander, because you have green-black elves and you have, you know, red-green elves, so you could do that. Or Nabzan, I guess.
I guess you can just use some other Jund, something like just play elf.
Prosh for all places.
Of course. Why would you use anything else?
But yeah, do you like Grand Warlord?
I mean, okay. The best part is that she herself doesn't have to attack, so your other creatures produce.
Yeah.
But then again, it's kind of like it's very similar to that Satyr Planeswalker's face.
Xenagos,
yeah, to his ability. But this one is super conditional. Like you have to have a lot of guys attacking.
This one is actually red-green as hell.
I know.
Go, attack, smash face.
and get rewarded.
What this works well is something that produces a lot of elementals that are here till the end of turn. Things like that work well with this guy. Girl, yes.
Gal,
because they just attack, and you don't care if they die or not, because they're going to disappear till the end of turn anyway.
So it's also like a good part of the 99, like in Sequoir.
In Sequoir, in Prosh as well.
Prosh is just absurd.
Yeah, I'm going to attack with all these stupid 0-1 kobolds. Or even worse, with all my 5-6 kobolds, or whatever the number is, because of either Beastmaster's Ascension or because of Coat of Arms. So you block, or you don't block, or whatever, and then you sacrifice Prosh and get even more.
So yeah, I don't really see it as a commander. Oh. Maybe in Brawl.
It can work as a commander, but it's really good in the 99.
Yeah. I remember people actually deploy the first Aradhra as a commander, just because she gave mana on tap.
Mm-hmm.
And enters turn 2.
The bit of problem that I can see with this one is it wants you to go wide, but it also gives the ability to ramp.
Well, you ramp into bigger X spells that give you token.
I guess that could work.
Yeah, something like super token focused things.
But do you want to talk about... Yeah.
Also works well with Tana.
Oh, definitely. And now I'm going to put this into my blood pot, that goddamn you.
Oh, yeah.
But it actually makes sense in the blood pot because it's all about resource denial, gathering lands and all that. And this produces lands even after a gathen.
Well, yeah.
Oh my god, I have done it. I have managed to talk myself into this. Yes.
Whatever. For.
So basically, all of the stupid creatures in blood pot colors is my version of you playing every Tron imaginable.
Yeah.
But want to talk about something really stupid?
Aren't we doing that already?
Oh, something much more stupid than a Grand Wall Rada. Joyra, Weatherlight Captain. First of all, she's the captain of Weatherlight, and that's freaking awesome. For two generic blue and red, it's a 3/3 human artificer. Whenever you cast a historic spell, draw a card. Artifacts, legendaries, and sagas are historic. Does this smell a bit of, you know, comboy to you?
Oh, very.
I was discussing it with Marco. Basically, you play a bunch of cheap mana artifacts, tap them all for mana, and then you cast Paradoxical Outcome. And replay the artifacts, tap them all for mana again. If you can get the Paradoxical Outcome again from Garriott somehow, and then storm off.
Congratulations, you just described my standard.
Yeah, basically I described you what the vintage Paradoxical Outcome deck does, and this girl can actually provide it. Like, really easily, you just cast a bunch of artifacts, get them back, cast them again, draw all the cards, and just cast all the spells.
I mean, but isn't that blue guy from...
Which one?
The 2 and double blue. Whenever you cast an artifact spell, you draw a card.
This is your commander, though.
Oh.
So you always have access to it.
No, I mean in, like, regular.
Sure, I guess.
But he's not standard legal, and Joyra... Well, actually, she's actually one of the things that was probably missing from...
For the life cannon?
Yeah, from Aetherlux Reservoir. And now I just wait for some, like, zero mana rocks.
Gee, if we only had those in the set.
We'll
but
get
let's not get ahead of ourselves. I'm really hyped for Joyra. First of all, because it's Joyra and I freaking love her character. She was the one person who always asked Teferi off. And somebody really needed to do that.
And now in the beginning of the story, she's, she's working on bringing the Weatherlight from the bottom up. She paid
how
some merfolk.
How did it manage to survive intact enough?
I don't know.
First of all, it was in the bottom of the sea. The water and pressure alone should have done most of the work.
I mean, it's a spaceship. If it can survive the blind eternities, I'm pretty sure it can handle some...
But
water.
Can it handle being suicidally rammed into Yawgmoth?
Can it survive being detonated?
Apparently the answer is yes. I mean, what the hell was I thinking? Of course the answer is yes.
Maybe it was made from Darkst.
Oh my god. Turns out Urza was smarter than I thought. But yeah, I'm loving Joya. What's next, Niksha?
Also.
We're both disappointed that this is a card, aren't we?
Yeah, we're just disappointed by its name, not the card itself, because the card itself is actually really good. So it's a white legendary enchantment. When it enters the battlefield, exile another target permanent control. Return it to the battlefield under its owner's control at the beginning of the next And you may activate the loyalty abilities of planeswalkers you control twice each turn rather than only once.
So this is really strong, isn't it?
Yeah, the first effect is like...
You can just... bounce something on a planeswalker that was really low on loyalty or something?
Yeah, it's kind of whatever.
It depends on what you're bouncing, of course.
I mean, you can untap a land.
Yeah, at least Antiferi was always keen on preserving lands.
And but the second part is really strong.
Yep.
So it's like a chain veil, but can't go infinite with
with the fairy. With the fairy, the best one, the mono blue planeswalker.
But it's really strong. You don't need to pay anything for to keep acting because you know attracts a super friends boost.
But Niksha, why do we hate this card? The concept of it.
Well, it's called Oath of Teferi, which means that Teferi joins the...
On one hand, it's good because we're going to see more of Teferi, hopefully. And I freaking love Teferi. But on the other hand, why was this needed?
I mean, isn't he, like, smarter?
On the other hand, he did fight Bolas head-on.
I mean, well, in his defense, he couldn't actually back that.
But he could have been humiliated to hell. Which he was, mind you. But does every planeswalker that is somewhat good have to join the Gatewatch?
Well, we still don't have an Oath of Karn.
Give it time.
I mean...
You know what I'm looking forward to? Oath of Garruk to kill some planeswalkers. I will take watch. What? What did you say? Nothing.
To kill some baddies, I will watch. Yes.
And then Liliana asks, "What did you say?"
Speaking of Liliana, she was actually forced to kill her brother again.
Wow. How many times do we need to kill you, old man? What happened exactly?
Oh, somebody decided to reincarnate her brother as a land force her to kill him, and she killed him.
Like, just like that, or was there an actual moral dilemma?
I didn't read it, but I doubt there was a moral dilemma. I mean, she killed her brother once, and so it's practically not her brother.
Yeah.
Really,
I am your brother, Gigi, get wrecked.
But I'm afraid of the Gatewatch mentality. I mean, all the Gatewatch members are interesting characters by themselves.
Yes.
But together, they're horrible.
They're the Legion of Blandness.
It's like they lose all personality, or their personality becomes as basic as possible when they're together. I mean,
holy crap, Jace was amazing when he was solo.
Yeah, now even he became a pirate.
Yeah.
And then he'll join the Gatewatch and he'll be like... Actually, he's not gonna...
Yeah.
He'll be more proactive, but he'll probably blend.
I'm liking when the planeswalkers go on the solo missions. They turn out cool.
Yeah, like on Kaladesh, it was supposed to be like just like Chandra and Nyssa and eventually...
That would be cool.
I mean, just the three of them, not the whole Gatewatch.
Yeah. But no, then 60 more people had joined. It was Jace and Gideon and the Wu-Tang Clan and everybody.
I'm just afraid that they'll ruin Teferi's character with this.
Yeah, I'm hoping not. Plus, how will they portray Teferi is also a question.
Yeah, that's an...
But anywho, moving on. We have Garna, the Blood Flame. 3 generic black red legendary human warrior, 3/3, flash, which is nice. When Garna the Blood Flame enters the battlefield, return to your hand all creature cards in your graveyard that were put there from anywhere this turn. Other creatures you control have haste.
Well, we've seen this kind of effect before.
But not on a flashy creature.
Not on a flashy creature, but we have seen it on Twilight Shepherd and Gravecrawler.
Mm-hmm.
But they didn't return creatures put from anywhere, but just from the battlefield.
Yeah. And the having flash is actually a big thing.
Yep.
Because what is the name of that worm plant kind of guy? The crawler.
Gravecrawler. What?
Wasn't it a glean crawler or something like that?
It probably was, yeah.
But yeah, that guy, his problem was that things needed to survive until the end of turn. It was your turn, if I remember correctly.
No, he wanted everything else to die. He needs to survive.
Yeah, that was a big problem. This guy just jumps in and he's like, "Sup, guys?" And then all those dudes that you return to your hand, you can play them, and they all have haste.
Yeah, I mean, you can also, like, mill them and get them back. Discard them or what else.
Yeah, that's actually really good.
It has some potential. I mean, I don't know by heart now to what kind of potential I would. But again, very combo.
He seems fine in the 99, at least.
Yeah, definitely.
Want to take the next one?
I mean, also, if we're looking at it as a commander, it's actually a very unique Rakdos commander. Mm-hmm.
He's not punishing everybody or being a tribally dude.
No, he's more combo, value, something mm-hmm. like that. Kind of like the Scorpion.
Yeah. Plus, I'm liking addition of a flash on a commander.
Yeah, definitely.
Surak has it, and this guy has it, and it's really good. And Derevi basically has it.
Yeah, but Derevi, so...
Oh my... So, take the next one, actually.
Next up, we have Adelis the Cinderwind, which is a 1 blue and red for a 2/2 legendary human wizard with flying and haste. And whenever you cast an instant or sorcery spell, wizards you control get +1/+1 until end of turn. So it's kind of like super prowess. Like...
So basically, if your Graveshot didn't manage to kill everybody, guess what?
Well, I mean, cast the copies.
No, but you needed to get to the point where you casted enough copies, right?
Yeah.
So if that didn't happen, you'll just, you know, one-shot people with stupid 1/1s and 2/2s.
Again, this is a cool, actually a really cool commander.
Yes, especially, unique.
Especially for Brawl, I think.
Mm-hmm. I mean, blue and red have really good tools for wizards, just for Brawl.
And good wizard.
Yep. Maybe they'll reprint Snapcaster Mage, what do you think? They will not.
Maybe they'll reprint him in Corset.
I would love to see him, but I don't think now is the time. With all the wizard support.
Maybe now is the perfect.
Or that, yeah. But this guy is really cool. Plus, haste is always nice on a commander.
Yeah, and flying.
Mm-hmm.
And when he
can pump himself is already good. He has to use spells, just one-shot the person.
This works very well with the... With the, what's it called, that bug thing that kept on experimenting. Is it Deacon of Form?
The whom? Who's experimenting on who?
The flip guy that turns into a 3/2.
Delver Secrets?
Delver, yeah. Well, his final iteration.
Aha! Uh-huh.
What is he called? Dean of Form? What?
Something, I can't remember.
Or iteration, so like, can't remember.
Because he poops even more wizards.
And he pumps up other wizards.
Yeah.
So Wizard Tribal is actually pretty legit.
Mm-hmm. Or you can just put this in our deck, you know.
I don't know. It's kind of like... I don't like it as a 99 because it gives
it's too specific.
Yeah, it's kind of specific.
Mm-hmm.
That makes it really cool.
Speaking of cool guys, but this guy comes from the past. Darigaz Reincarnated. 4 and a Junt. And sadly, he's still not Prosh, so pity for him. Legendary creature dragon 7/7, flying, trample, haste. If Darigaz Reincarnated would die, instead exile it with 3 egg counters on it. At the beginning of your upkeep, if Darigaz is exiled with an egg counter on it, remove an egg counter from it, and then if Darigaz has no egg counters on it, return it to the battlefield. This guy doesn't want to die.
He definitely doesn't, but it's a little shame that his egg counters, like yeah, because time counters.
Because you have way more things to interact with that.
Yeah, this one you actually don't have.
Yeah. Pity for you.
Oh, well.
I mean, this guy is just an effective beater that refuses to stay down.
But why is he here?
Darigaz was a huge thing in the past, and I think he sacrificed himself to stop something. I can't remember what.
But what about the others?
They aren't actually reincarnated. They, on the other hand, do refuse to die. They do not refuse to die, is what I mean to say.
We might want more, but...
Hmm.
I mean, why would they just reincarnate? Who reincarnated Darigaz?
Maybe he... Hmm.
I don't know. It's just kind of weird to... I mean, it's nice seeing some familiar faces every now and then, but it's weird to just see Darigaz suddenly out of nowhere.
Oh, I see what he did. He was awakening Rit and Treva, Dromar and Krosis to, you know, fuck up the whole land. To make himself, you know, the overlord. And he bursted free, reborn as a god. And he was gonna fight people, and then Weatherlight showed up, and Karn was like, dude, look what you become, and then he threw himself into the volcano.
Okay.
So, there we go, that happened.
So, thoughts on this as a commander? Not really, right?
You still have Prosh in those colors.
You have Prosh, you have Sekwar, you have, like, a lot of other cards.
No, but the thing that happens, it's a dragon, it's in these colors, you're always gonna be compared to Prosh. Oh, actually, you're in these colors, and as legendary, you're gonna be compared to Prosh. He's sadly the golden standard of those colors.
Well, this might actually be, like, good in a way. It's a decent part of the 99 if you're into big, dumb...
If you're playing somebody like Artus, I guess.
I mean, even in Prosh, you can just, like, attack with him, and somebody wants to exile him or kill him in some way to Prosh.
Yeah, that's the point, but you're paying a lot of mana for this guy.
But he does have haste and trample.
He has to, I think, for this mana cost. But yeah, enough of that, I guess. I'm not that impressed, but I'm happy to see a familiar face.
That's not the only...
So, what next?
Next up, we have Rona, Disciple of Gate. So, it's a 1 and a blue and a black for a 2-2 legendary creature human artifact. When Rona, Disciple of Gix, enters the battlefield, you may exile target historic card from your graveyard. You may cast non-land cards exiled with Rona, and you can pay 4 and tap it to exile the top card of your library.
First of all, they're still worshipping Gix, and she's being taught by Gix. Do you know how old that is?
I know.
It is pre-Brothers War.
That's
so apparently, people are still worshipping the Phyrexians, and Gix might have actually survived in one shape or another to this day and age. So fuck the Cabal. This might be the real threat.
I mean, Phyrexia is always a...
Yeah, but I'm not sure if people are aware of it. So this might be an actual nice hook to see.
Yeah, they didn't mention anything about Phyrexia in the trailer, but maybe that's the
point.
The point, yeah. I mean, would Dominaria actually survive another full scale?
We have done it once. We might as well do it once more. But for the commander itself, herself, I guess, any thoughts?
Well, not really. It doesn't actually... It's actually quite underwhelming.
What can we actually do with her? What is a good thing to cast again when it's in your grave?
Well, yeah, that's the only... thing, so...
Lotus Bloom is a no-no, right?
Yeah.
Because you can't cast it, actually.
This is very... quite confusing, I mean...
One thing I'm seeing in my mind is actually... Tanglewire, I guess. Just because it's gonna enter the battlefield, it's gonna sooner or later go to graveyard on its own, and you can recast it again, I guess.
So it's kind of a recursion?
Yep.
I mean, it can actually, you know, recast your legendary or planeswalker.
Mm-hmm.
But the only problem is it's a 2-2, so it dies quite easy. And if it dies before you have a chance to recast your card, it's gone forever.
Yeah, because it treats the next Rona as a new object in the game.
Yeah, first I thought like, well, maybe you just blink this card and exile more things. Well, that doesn't
work. But it's not Marisol. It's not Marisol.
So, quite the weird.
It's wonky. I'm sure somebody's going to do something really stupid with it. I'm just drawing a blank. I'm not sure what.
It's interesting.
I wouldn't be surprised if you find some silly use for this.
I mean, this is something more I would use in a standard deck. I mean, when I assemble my all legend deck or standard, this will probably be a part of it because it can recast things.
Want to move on to the interesting guy? So we have Slimefoot, the Stowaway. And I'm thinking because of the name, this is going to be the Squee of the set. Besides Squee.
Besides Squee. Okay.
So for one black and a green, Legendary Fungus, that's a 2-3. Whenever a sapling you control dies, Slimefoot the Stowaway deals 1 damage to each opponent, you gain 1 life. For generic, create a 1-1 green sapling creature token.
Well...
There's a bunch of things that make saplings.
There's also a lot of questions regarding this card. I mean,
like?
So it's I guess on the Weatherlight.
Most likely.
I think that this is just mold. You know, there was some mold that somehow became sentient life.
Yeah, sentient mold. How scary is that, actually?
I mean, it's probably not so scary on Dominaria, but you know, when you go to your fridge and then your fridge speaks to you, that's kind of scary.
Yeah. Maybe you should clean the fridge more often. First of all.
I mean, I find it hilarious, actually, this card.
It's gonna lead to some broken things.
Oh, yeah. Remember that card? That for 4 mana, it's an enchantment that turns your saplings into forests and your forests into saplings? Oh, yeah.
Also, there is that sorcery for 4 mana that gets a sapling for each land you control. There is that. Necrogenesis gives you saplings.
There's a lot of things that give you saplings.
Doesn't Gava give you saplings?
Gave gives you saplings?
Oh my god. Another thing to go stupid with Gave.
Oh man.
This, This guy can do many stupid things. Tana gives you saps.
What else?
Plenty of things.
I mean, you can always use, like, Spiracy and Prosh and name Sapralink. Sapralink.
Ouch. Ouch.
It's a neat concept. I mean, it's kind of a, like,
It's a build around me.
It is a build around me. It reminds me of Blood Artist a lot.
We can play Talon of the Halem within this deck. And the Fungi's.
Yeah.
Oh my god, we can do that! I always wanted to do that because he's such a cool character.
I do have my, like, Talon of Havenwood. Like, I was going to build that deck, and it's still lying around. I mean, I was going to make a themed deck around, you know, funguses and mold decay and things like that.
But guess what? You have talking mold as your general.
Yeah, that's quite interesting.
I'm really interested in this guy.
Yeah, it's a cool commander for Brawl, and generally I think it's a good creature for Standard. It might be.
He's overall a good creature.
It's a mana. I mean, 3 mana for 2/3 isn't anything. But it's a mana sink.
If you have a bunch of mana, yeah, you can kill people with it. And how difficult is it to make infinite mana in Commander? Like, really?
Not that difficult.
Yeah. So combine that to Blood Artist and the Sec Outlet and people are gonna die. But speaking of Commander cards, won't you read the next one?
Oh yes. So moving on to artifacts, we have a Mox Amber, another one in the line of Moxes. So it's a 0 mana legendary artifact. You tap it to add 1 mana of any color among legendary creatures and play its honkers you control.
This one is way less broken than any previous Mox.
Yeah.
But still really good.
I mean, it's still a turn 1/2 mana, like Modern, because, you know, there are legendary... No, creatures and planeswalkers, never mind.
Yep.
I thought it's just legends, it's a legendary.
If you play something like Isamaru, I guess. But no, generally, this is an unreliable Mox that you can play in Commander a bit more easily than in any other format.
Yeah, I actually hope that people don't find the use for this outside of Commander, so that it doesn't go too high in price, because Moxes do have that.
And I would like to finally have a Mox. I already do have a Chrome Mox, but I also want this one.
Yeah, this is a Commander staple. This is, like, goes in every Commander deck.
That I'm not that sure of.
Probably.
Because it's unreliable, that's the thing. One board wipe, you're down. Down a mana. And down a card, kinda.
Well, that's what this is going to be in Standard. Really cool in that all legendary deck I'm planning.
But I'm liking the concept. I'm liking it for Commander. If you have a Commander that's almost always around, something like Norrin Dhaveri, let's say.
Of course.
He's often around, let's say it like that.
Or, you know, something like Zurgo Bellstriker.
Zurgo Bellstriker, Riz the Redeemed. Well, anything that's like 3 mana and under, you can play it in that.
Yeah, like Sig also.
Yeah, Sig, Alesh, plenty of things actually. If you're playing a cheaper commander, this might be a good thing to look at.
Or if you're just playing a bunch of legendary creatures like I do, I can't.
Or if you're playing Sisse.
Or Sisse, yeah.
Sisse always works with it. This is a really good set for Captain Sisse.
So, yeah. It's a really cool card for Commander, for Standard, and for Brawl all alike.
Yeah, I'm hoping to get it for Commander. Next up is Juggernaut that we don't need to talk about. What's an actually interesting card to talk about?
Well, Mishra's Self for Replicator isn't that bad.
It's not. I just... the number next to the name of the card is what bugs me.
Yeah.
So Mishra's Self Replicator, it's out of a creature assembly worker. It's a 2/2. Whenever you cast a historic spell, you may pay generic mana. 1. If you do, create a token that's a copy of Mishra's Self Replicator. Now, the problem is the number next to the name is 5.
Yeah.
That's a bit of a downer.
Kind of.
For 4 mana, I might be much more stoked for this, but 5 is a big investment.
But you did get for 1 extra mana, 2/2 every time. And all closers, but they stack, so you can, like, make a lot of them.
Yes, you get 2/2s. With no evasion, no anything.
Sacrifice.
There's easy ways to get Sacrifice Water, isn't it?
Yeah.
Hell, for that mana cost, Slimefoot gives us Sacrifice Water.
Definitely, yeah.
It's a cool card, and I like, you know, Refus and Mishra, but it's not, you know, card that I'll hype about in Commander.
Mishra's return hype?
That would be really sweet, but no, he's dead as they come. But then again, I thought that for Vandalite, and look at me now. But for something like Limited, this is a really good card if it sticks.
Oh, yeah, but it's also 5-mana. And it is what are the chances you're going to play a lot of Artifacts, Legendaries, or Sagas in Limited?
In this Limited? Not that bad, actually.
Yeah, I mean, Legends are, like, half the set.
Uncommon? That's the thing. For Limited and Seal purposes, I'm okay with this card. And if they waste removal on this guy, I'm, again, fine with this guy because my Legendaries are staying safe. Next up, what we have that's interesting...
I mean, Power Stone Shard is interesting because it references an old mechanic.
Yes.
I mean, it's a mechanic. So, Power Stone Shard is a 3 generic mana for an artifact. You can tap it to add a colorless mana for each artifact you control named Power Stone Shard.
So, what's the mechanic?
Well, you know, counting cards that have the same name.
Or similar like Urzaland.
Yeah,
but yeah,
like take inventory and that other card that draws
accumulated
for
knowledge. Is what you're looking for.
There's also that pump spell. There's also that wolf.
There's also burn spell.
There's also that burn spell. Yeah, it's a mechanic.
Yeah. What I really wanted to talk about is actually Dampening Spear. So that Dampening Spear for 2 mana.
Oh yeah.
Generic
Dampening
artifact. I'm really hyped for this, by the way, guys. If land is tapped for 2 or more mana, it produces colorless instead of any other type and amount. Each spell a player casts costs 1 generic more to cast for each other spell that player has cast this turn. This screws so many things in so many ways for just 2 mana. I need like 6 of them.
Yeah, I'm quite hyped for it as well. There's a lot of talk that in Modern this solves like a lot of things. Like, it screws over Tron, it screws over Eldrazi, it screws over
Storm.
It even, like, screws over Burn, because they can't cast more than one spell this way.
Yeah, and Ponza, in a way, if, you know, you tap a land for extra mana.
Yeah. Because the enchantment gives the land extra, yeah.
And if Amulet Bloom was still a thing, this would screw that over as well. Oh, look, Simic Growth Chamber, it taps for colorless. Yeah.
I mean, Amulet Bloom is still a thing, but it's not called Amulet Bloom.
Yeah, that's the thing. It's much different than what Amulet Bloom used to be.
Yeah, I remember that one time when... I don't know, I can remember when it was, but a guy managed to cast Primeval Titan on turn 2. It
yeah.
got remanded, and he cast it again at the same turn.
That's what the deck did. But yeah, this would just laugh in its face.
It also, like, laughs in the face of Tron because, yeah, nice Tron lines you got there. Nice 3 mana.
I'm glad you managed to, you know, have Tron on turn 3. It doesn't matter.
Well, you see, the thing is, I don't care.
You love it?
Because I have walls.
Yeah, your plants are and other things are not affected by this.
Most of the time.
Yeah. But, man, does this thing make everybody play fair magic? I'm really digging this card. No, really, I really actually need like a playset.
Well, yeah, this is probably going to be a staple in Modern sideboards. Maybe even main boards of some decks.
For Death and Taxes decks, I think this is main board.
Control decks, they don't cast a lot of spells, so...
You have less problems, I think, in those decks with something like... Control, it's more like really fast combo decks if you can't get your Tali out. And this gives you ability to not get stomped by bigger mana decks in taxing decks.
Also, this could actually be a main board in like Blue Steel.
Oh?
Because it doesn't really generate mana from lands.
Mm-hmm.
It just generates from creatures and you get a lot of mana.
Yeah, and you can bypass the whole extra mana for each spell.
Yeah, this is more like, you know how Bloodsun is more of a mainboard card than a sideboard card?
I still don't like Bloodsun that much.
I mean, I like Bloodsun because it doesn't shut down Tron.
Oh, of course, I don't like it exactly for the same reason. It doesn't shut down things like that.
That's fine.
But,
it's still fair. Producing mana is magic.
No, not having lands is magic. You know how I know that? Richard Garfield himself put Armageddon in the first set. He didn't put the Tron lines in. He put Armageddon. So see, that is the magic that Richard Garfield wants.
What, not having lines?
Yeah. Look, I didn't say that Richard Garfield was a wise person in that regard, but I'm still gonna go with it. But what's next up, Niksha, that you like?
I can say Black Blade Reforged.
Oh, I'm really happy for this reference.
So Black Blade Reforged is a 2-mana equipment, legendary artifact. Equipped creature gets +1/+1 for each land you control, and has an equip cost of 7. But it also has equip legendary creature 3.
First of all, this ability is here, the land ability, is because Dakon Blackblade, the first Blackblade card, used to get +1/+1 for each land you control, right?
Or swamp. And, or that.
No, it was for each land. Korlash the Blackblade was for each swamp. Korlash heir to the Blackblade, to be specific. And now we have the Blackblade itself.
I mean, reforged.
Yeah. I mean, of course it was destroyed because the blade was last seen like 60 years ago.
And the one that'll be wielding it is probably Bells and Lock.
Oh, yeah. I'm liking this for something like Saskia. Each land you play makes it much easier to one-shot a person, or two.
And it's actually quite affordable equip cost, just 3.
Yeah, yeah.
On a legend, of course.
On a legendary creature. But since you mostly want to, you know, attack with Saskia, real good.
Yep, nice. Also for, you know, unblockable names, the rogues, or something like that. Quite efficient.
Mm-hmm. What's next up that we like? The Helm?
Sure, talk about. What does the Helm do?
Oh, Helm of the Host is stupid for Commander. It's for generic legendary artifact equipment. At the beginning of combat on your own turn, create a token that's a copy of a good creature, except the token isn't legendary if a good creature is legendary. That token gains haste. Equip 5. And this is a really easy way to win in mono red. You either choose Kiki Jiki.
Oh, of course.
Or you choose Goda. What is his title? The Warlord. The Bandit Warlord. Either you choose him or Kiki Jiki. Really easy infinite combo. Are you surprised that Kiki Jiki is comboing with yet another card? But this time that card is himself. But yeah, this is a really, really good card. This is like the Myriad Blade. How is it called?
Blade of Selves?
Yes, Blade of Selves. But maybe even better, depending on what you're equipping it to.
I mean, you can equip it Eldrazi Titan Tongue. Annihilators in.
I'm liking that idea, to be honest.
But definitely not a card that I'll be in Tron.
I mean, yeah. But for Commander, this... Oh my god.
Yeah, there's a lot of really good commanders that could work. Multiples.
I mean, just ignore the commanders, just creatures you could copy like that.
Oh, I'm sorry, ignore the commander. Do you know what's worse than one Reaper King? Well, of course,
my god.
Two Reaper Kings.
I'm gonna puke now.
Oh yeah, and if you have the ninja.
Which one?
That copies a legendary, but
stays... Sakashima student.
Yeah, Sakashima.
Ah, Sakashima, he's not a ninja.
Oh yeah, he's not a ninja, too bad. So you have Sakashima and Helm of the Host, so you have 3 Reaper Kings.
You know who also wields this thing really well? Elish Norn.
Definitely, yeah.
That's actually kind of disgusting, to be honest.
Like any Praetor, except the red one.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, there's a bunch of things you can do with this. Recruiter of the Guard is nice. Just any recruiter like that is nice. Stoneforge Mystics are nice.
It's like almost a... I was thinking of saying Panharmonicon, but not really. So it's a cool recurring... It's like blinking without the blinking part.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, if you have strong ETBs, this is great. If you have a strong commander, this is great. You can, again, put it on Saskia and name another bastard. Or name the same bastard twice.
Of course.
I mean, you laugh because it is kind of funny, but honestly, this works really good with Saskia.
I mean, even on, Alesha, you can, like, get 2 things back.
I wouldn't mind that, yeah. So, this is gonna be a strong card for Commander, but let's carry on. What's next thing you see that you like? We need to mention that the enemy checklands are gonna be printed in this set.
Oh, yeah, finally.
Which is, yeah, finally, we needed this.
I thought they were going to be Xalan already, but sure.
Because the rivals and stuff, right?
Yeah, and rival-colored fetch land.
Yeah, yeah. But this is okay. Plus, on the upside, I'm gonna get these enemy checklands with sweet Dominaria art.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I'm sure that the art for Hinterland Harbor is the art in the first shot of the... Not the first, but on the beginning of the trailer.
The one that looks like that town in Skyrim?
Yeah.
Was it the only one who thought of that, or did you also have that flashback?
I mean, I saw some someone comment on YouTube that it looks like Skyrim.
Yeah. Yeah,
I actually do. Then I like realized, yeah, it does kind of look like.
When I first saw it, I was like, is that that town, which I can't remember the name of, but I was like, oh my god. Okay, yeah, no, this is magic. Do you also want to go through the silly Planeswalker decks, or?
Wait, there's actually one more.
Oh, what was it?
Interesting land, and that's Zalfirin Void.
We talked about that, actually.
We did?
We did. And listeners, we're definitely not recording this 2 days after.
Oh, yeah, okay. okay. Yeah, now I remember.
Yeah,
the silly Planeswalker decks, I mean, they're all just...
Only good thing about the silly Planeswalker cards is the Niambi, the Faithful Healer, because you're kind of playing a partner deck with that one, you know?
Yeah, but, you know...
It's not good. I didn't say it was good, Niksha.
No. It would be good if it searched for a Teferi.
Oh my god, that would be stupid. For a Teferi card, right?
Yeah. And this way it searches for Teferi Timebender, who is just...
Meh. He's meh. But then he's a Planeswalker deck card, so he has to be like that, until Saffron Olive breaks the card.
I mean, still, that Teferi Master of Metal is quite cool.
Teferi? Or...
Are
you thinking maybe...
Master of Metal. What's he... The guy who's with Bolas.
Yeah?
What's he called?
Tezzeret, maybe?
Tezzeret, yeah, man, horrible
names. I also blanked out for a minute, so I need to Google it.
Yeah, Tezzeret Master of Metal was actually a pretty good, for like Commander and stuff like that. A Planeswalker card.
And he's...
From the Planeswalker deck.
And he's stupidly cheap.
He's not really...
And he's really cheap.
I mean, he's cheap, like, because it's a Planeswalker deck card, so it's garbage.
And I always liked him, honestly.
I mean, I did too. I preferred him over the regular set one.
Yeah, yeah. The regular set one is actually just money-wise extremely cheap, if I remember correctly. Like $2 something.
Yeah, because it's not being played anywhere, but that might change actually.
So stock up on those guys.
Yeah. So we got Teferi and Chandra, but
they're not. Eh.
But why is Chandra here? I mean, she's going to be in the... Is she going to be in the... I don't think she's going to be in the set.
I'm hoping not. We already have her master, so...
Yeah, we have Jaya, so why is she here? Why isn't Jaya the other...
We have good enough of Jaya, no need to ruin it with, you know, a Planeswalker deck version. I honestly, I'm blanking out of possible solutions. And the Chandra deck is going to be red-green, by the way.
Yeah, but Chandra is mono-red.
Yeah, she's mono-red.
But yeah, again, nothing good in these decks because you can't put anything in these decks.
We thought so, and then Saffron Olive broke the Ajani.
Did?
Yeah, he, that plays green-white Ajani. He managed to make an infinite combo with, that guy, that girl that has a scent. You tap and get an extra turn and put her in the bottom of the deck.
That deck is so...
Honestly, that deck performed much better than you would think with a Planeswalker deck, Planeswalker, right?
But still, it's like, that's so... I didn't watch the deck or the video, but just like thinking about, you know, that ascend that gives you send pirate the return, just trying to go infinite with it, it seemed completely unrealistic.
I didn't say he broke the format, he just broke the creature.
I know.
And the Planeswalker. Alright, is that all we need to do, Niksha?
Yeah, that was pretty much it.
Because this has been a long 2 day spanning episode.
Yeah. Hopefully we're not going to...
No, future. I mean, things just aligned because of daylight savings time, me having some personal responsibilities and stuff.
And me suddenly going...
Almost. Yeah. I mean, I'm also catching it, so I know how you feel.
And also the spoiler season started out, like, rather slowly.
Mm-hmm.
But I have to say that the new arts for the sagas, the History of Benalia and the Fall of the Thrand...
Oh god, it looks so wonderful!
Are just gorgeous, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Especially the History of Benali with that stained glass.
Now, Niksha, imagine, a foil.
I know, I was just going to say that.
Are you gonna spend stupid amount of money for that?
Well, I highly doubt it'll be worth it.
Well, I just might. Because damn, this is gonna be beautiful. It's not gonna be good, But it's going to be beautiful.
And I'm really liking the look of the sagas.
Are you also looking liking the look of the set?
Definitely. It has so much legendaries. And it has Lana War Elves.
The thing they said they're not going to return back?
Yeah, Lana War Elves. Like, so one drop dorks and cards that are as efficient as Doomblade.
And also card that destroys lands quite easily.
Not that, but mass land destruction.
That's what I meant.
So, that's three things they never said they wouldn't put in mass land destruction, it's just that land destruction is unfun to play against. So they just made those kind of cards, like, unplayable, like 4 mana destroy a land, unplayable.
Or, you know, 6 mana destroy all of the lands.
Well, 6 mana destroy all the lands is actually completely fine.
It's fine, on the other hand, it's much worse because, okay, I played all my lands, fuck.
Oh, fine. I already said I'll be with that. I mean, I can't wait. They're just killing all lands in Standard, come on.
And that was never a person, you know, to reject a good Armageddon.
I mean, I dislike Armageddon Commander, but in Standard, I'm all up.
Oh no, I'm all up for Armageddon anywhere, anytime. Gimme. Plus, it kind of forces people to think about Geddons and possibility of them and maybe saving some of the lands in their hand to maybe not play them right away.
Yeah.
So anything else we need to say?
No. That about covers the rest of the Dominaria spoilers / leaks.
For now.
We still have quite a few weeks to go.
Yep.
So yeah, well, I'm expecting... the thing is, it seems like the Skyship Weatherlight won't be doing anything crazy because it would have been leaked.
I'm surprised that it's flying, to be honest. Let alone making it a great effect. Just, you know, this is fine.
Maybe it's like a random vehicle that has flying and that's it.
Wow.
It doesn't have anything.
What? We just said we're having the Skyship Weatherlight, not that it's useful. Yeah. I mean, honestly, in Dominaria, it's kind of useful because you're just flying through the whole space. Just in that, it's really good. But yeah, I think this is it. You can find all our information in the show notes, from the articles, YouTube, yada, yada, yada. And this has been episode 67 of the Elder Dragon Dorlu podcast. This has been your host, Igor, and as always with me, Niksha.
Well, was it episode 66 part 2, or is it episode...
No, this is a whole new episode because, you know... So much to talk about. It's just part 2 of the Dominaria leaks.
And more to and there are more yet.
There so is much more yet. More. Yeah, and as always, the Emperor protects. Good night, people.